This week on the Mainly Immunology podcast, we have a very exciting treat for you. For one thing, we have one of my favorite astrologers, Cassandra Tindall, and she and I are going to be talking about what is probably the biggest astrology news of the month, if not for the quarter, now that we're out of eclipse season. And also, we're going to talk about what's it actually like to be an astrologer. Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast. I'm your host, Yasmin Boland, an award-winning astrologer and the Sunday Times best-selling author of books including Moonology and creator of the Moonology Oracle Cards. My intention for this podcast is to help you understand how you can create your dream life using Mainly Moonology, the moon, as your guide. Hailing from Australia, Cassandra began her astrology career in 2004, which makes this your 20th year anniversary. Focusing on mainly traditional techniques with a modern outlook, and known for her ability to weave technical astrology with philosophy and inspiration, Cassandra consults with clients from all around the world, teaches a comprehensive online astrology program, and offers webinars and classes, and also does a little bit of writing for me when I'm feeling really frantic. Her membership, The Golden Circle, is where you'll become empowered to lead a divinely inspired life by the stars. When her head isn't in the stars, she enjoys being firmly on the ground through powerlifting and, just double checking I've got that right, gardening. So welcome to the show, Cass.
Thank you, Yasmin. It's good to be back.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. So what we want to do straight away, right off the bat, before we talk about you, is let's talk about the astrology of the week ahead. And then I'm going to ask you what it's like to be an actual astrologer once we've seen you being an astrologer. So we were looking at the astrology for May, and I actually do quite a detailed breakdown of the month ahead for my members, as I'm sure you do. So I like to just make sure that they get exclusive content. So let's, instead of just doing a breakdown of the whole month, let's just look at one particular aspect that's going on, which is, it's actually not an aspect particularly, it's an ingress. It's Jupiter moving into the sign of Gemini.
Oh, look, I might be slightly biased, but I am really looking forward to this one. What I like about Jupiter and Gemini, I mean, from the astrologer's standpoint, from a technical perspective, there are some disadvantages. But for the most part, what I think is going to be really helpful about Jupiter in Gemini is the return to curiosity and allowing curiosity to be what inspires and guides you. We'll be coming out of a 12-month cycle of, you know, Jupiter and Taurus, which is much more slow and steady and stubborn. And now I think the beauty of Jupiter and Gemini is the idea of asking the question, you know, what if? Like, what if I went on that adventure? Or what if I just allowed something to motivate or inspire me? It's kind of this really interesting juxtaposition of bringing in details and facts around perhaps ethics, morality, wisdom, what inspires and kind of motivates you. So it is a bit of a juxtaposition of opposites in a certain way. But I think, you know, for the most part, when you allow yourself to be open-minded, broad-minded, ask the questions, be curious, then you set your whole life on a bit of an adventure. And I think this is it's actually a 13 months, almost a 13 month cycle, this one, that it will be a little bit mentally frazzling, you know, jats crackering,
exciting,
as we would say. It has a buzz, let's just say that. But yeah, there is a bit of excitement to it, you know, a bit more movement.
Travel for sure.
Hopefully,
sort of like,
yeah,
the opening up of the travel gates post COVID. If they haven't already opened up, it's going to be a free for all.
I hope so.
Know what else I think?
What's
I think that?
That
because of ChatGPT, every man and his dog is going to be writing a book.
Oh, very interesting.
Yes. And so, you know, people who previously said, well, I can't write a book, I can't write, but they have ideas, they will just feed them into ChatGPT and they will write their book. So, you know, including about things like weightlifting and gardening.
Oh,
I'm
so
going to use my
yeah,
brain,
exactly.
not
And it is
GPT.
exciting. It is exciting. So let's just define Jupiter a little bit for people who aren't really clear on, what does it mean? I know people ask these two questions. What, does it mean? No, so what's Jupiter? What does it represent? Which we can sum up really quickly. Jupiter's the planet of good luck, good fortune, good times, cheerfulness. But, more than that, which we can go into. But overall, it's kind of like the lucky planet. If I had to give it just one name, I'd say I mean, I'd probably say the planet of expansion, but that almost says nothing. So if I had to be a little bit more accessible, I'd probably say maybe improvement or optimism. All those words, all those Jupiter words. And, I won't go into Gemini now. People tend to know what Geminis are like. That's what your Gemini friends are like. But what does it mean when somebody asked me this the other day? What does it mean when Jupiter moves into Gemini? Like, what are people doing? I mean, I know what I'm doing. I'm actually looking at it on my computer. But what's actually happening up in the skies? Do tell, Cass.
Well, Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system. And so it's 1300 times bigger than our planet. And so what differentiates Jupiter from some of our more what we would refer to as inner planets, it being beyond the asteroid belt, it's like a planet. It's one of the gas giants. So it's like a big ball of gas and storms. So you can't actually walk on Jupiter. You could walk on some of the you walk on the moon, but the physiological makeup of Venus, Mercury, Mars, you could walk on them. Jupiter, you can't. And so the further we get out into the solar system, slightly more abstract the ideas become. And because of the nature of Jupiter, it often doesn't speak to, oh, there's Jupiter in my life. It's not like our other planet that gets classed as a benefic. Venus, for example, if someone gives you a nice bunch of roses and they smell good, they're in, they make the place look pretty, like, yeah, there's Venus. You can see her, you can touch her, all of that sort of stuff.
We love
But with,
Venus.
yeah, well, who doesn't? But with Jupiter, it's a little bit more abstract. It's sort of like what kind of, motivates you in a more intrinsic way. Not a Mars motivation, but more what inspires, what uplifts. It's a bit like Bette Midler, like what puts the wind under your wings, and helps you fly away, whatever it is. But there is that sort of Jupiter, when you say expansion, like definitely that's a thing, but we can expand through knowledge, through learning, through the attainment of wisdom. And you can do that through
Exactly, 100%. And
astrology,
Jupiter's very
through
much about higher learning and so on.
totally. So you can do that with your mind, and you can also do that through experience. And
Through
travel is one
travel.
of the big ones. So it is really kind of it's a stretching sort of plan, because of its size, it demands that you stretch somewhere in your life. And when it comes to Gemini, it's the idea of information, curiosity, movement.
So yeah, so I mean, and so what we need people to do is to find out where Gemini is in their chart, and that's where they're going to be getting, that wind beneath their wings. It's funny you use that phrase, because what I always think with Jupiter is it's like if you are playing tennis and you hit the ball into the net, but it still goes over. To me, that's Jupiter. It just gives you that little thing. And so all the Geminis out there are going to be going, "Oh my God, that sounds amazing." And it is, but I just want everyone to know that we all have different planets and we all have Gemini somewhere in our chart. So it's actually amazing for everyone, isn't it? Like, everybody is going to get a new sort of bit of, a boost. One thing I would love to put to you, Cass, is I've always felt, Jupiter is very much the planet. Say, I always see Jupiter as a bit of a Father Christmas, a Santa Claus. And it's a bit sort of, larger than life and very giving in its energy. And it's also can really make you feel more sure of yourself to the point that it could actually also tip you over into arrogance. So with Jupiter, it's always about not going too far because it can sort of, over egg the omelet, so to speak. But I've always thought this is interesting. What do you think? So, in my world, in the moonology world, we talk a lot about self-belief and values and believing in yourself and moving on from any, crap in your past and all that kind of thing. Because we're very much focused on, having a positive mental attitude, basically, which really translates as manifesting, because then, things come from your attitude. So I've always found it interesting that Jupiter is considered the lucky planet, the fortunate planet, okay, the lucky planet. It's also the planet that kind of puffs you up and makes you feel more sure of yourself. So isn't it interesting? Because it's like, if you feel lucky, Jupiter, you're going to be more, you're going to have more bravado about whatever it is that you're doing, Jupiter. So I've always sort of like, oh, well, Jupiter's the planet. I mean, I've kind of said gives you confidence in a way, even though I do struggle with that slightly, because I know the sun is also about confidence, but Jupiter, I think, is about that overblown confidence.
We all sometimes have to just one of my quotes that I've found myself using a lot lately in readings and what have you is sometimes there's just a little bit of what I call Richard Bransoning it. Sometimes you just got to screw it, let's do it. It's not quite correct, but I'm going to go with it, is the idea of the fool in tarot. Now, taking
Except
a
much
leap
more
of
well-fed.
take Yeah, taking that leap of faith, not always knowing where the path leads, but a little bit of a few like feathers in your cap and a little bit of, faith, confidence, and hope that things are going to work out. So it has a little bit
So,
of like a pseudo-religious priestly,
yes.
whatever your vibe is in that regard, you can't see that stuff. You can't see faith, hope, and optimism. It's a part of someone's energy or their charisma or their way of being. And so again, the idea of Jupiter doesn't always bring the sort of stuff that you can see. Not It's not like the bunch of flowers.
No, it could be travel, but again, that's an experience, not a thing. Just when a planet changes signs is when we will often feel it more. So
Correct.
it's a really good time. We were about 3 weeks ahead of the changeover as this goes to air. So it's worth thinking about how confident do I feel in my own life? Do I feel lucky? What would make me feel luckier? Can I think of some times in my life when I've been lucky? And just sort of bring it into your consciousness, because it's not going to hurt to start to recognize a bit like, oh, well, actually that worked out okay for me. That worked out okay for me. Or and also Jupiter's about faith, isn't it? So it's about having faith that whatever trajectory you're on at the moment, as the planet changes signs and starts to light up a whole new point part of your chart, do I have faith that I'm going in the right direction? Just questions like that are going to be really valuable. What do you think, Cass? Is that a bit too airy-fairy for you?
I mean, 100%, not 100% airy fairy, but no, you're certainly on the right track. And if faith, hope, and confidence is something that may be a bit of a struggle point for somebody who's listening, or they're like, I like the sound of this, how do I do it? Well, look to the sign it's in. It's in Mercury sign. It's a sign of the mind and sign of thinking. So this is one of those type of classic change your thoughts, change your reality type of transits. I
Which
think
is,
there's definitely,
always the case. But yes, you're right. This is actually going to be great for that.
I think this is, one you could
Oh,
almost take to the bank.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to be amazing for that. And I'm finding more and more people are talking about how important positive mental attitude is and about manifesting. And this all fits hand in glove with all of that, because it is going to be easier to tap into having a positive mindset, unless, of course, you happen to have Saturn on your Mercury at this very point, which is why it's a good idea to know your chart.
Yes, correct.
Yes, which brings us nicely to you, I think, Cass, because Cass
Oh, thank you.
actually does readings, don't you, Cass?
Yep, I sure do.
How many do you do a week?
Oh, yeah, it depends on other projects that I've got going on. It can be anywhere from, maybe 3 to 5 to 25 to 30. It just depends. Time of year, what else I've got going on. But yeah, there's definitely a range there.
So I wanted to start a new thing on the Mainly Moonology podcast, or maybe it will just be on the YouTube channel. I'm not really sure yet. But what I wanted to do was the following. I speak to a lot of extremely interesting people in the course of recording this podcast, and I'm just curious to know what their favorite book might be. Now, we haven't really established if it's going to be your favorite astrology book or just your favorite kind of spiritual book. I don't think I want to get into novels at this point. I've just had a quick chat to Cassandra Tindall about for a podcast that will be going out on April 29. We talked a bit about Jupiter in Gemini, but I also wanted to just hop back on here and say, okay, Cassandra, what's your favorite book? And did you get me an astrology book or a spiritual book?
It's technically not an astrology book. It's a history book. Very Jupiter and Gemini, all the details. A big picture perspective.
I think I know what it's going to be, but show
What do
show
you think
us.
It's going to be? Tell us.
Is it Cosmos and Psyche?
No.
Okay.
No, this is like a history book. It's like Jupiter in retrospective in Gemini. It's called The Faded Sky.
Oh, The Faded Sky. That was the other one. Bobrick. What's his name? That was the other one.
Yeah, Benson Bobrick.
I knew it would be one of those two. I did, I promise.
And I thought she's going to get it. She's going to get it.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the other one by Bobrick, but I couldn't remember the name.
I don't know if the cover's still the same. I've had this for about 17 years at this point.
Okay.
But it's a history book, but it's littered with astrology.
Yeah.
And what this can be very helpful for is having a really solid and grounded base in what historically astrologers have meant and their contributions to history and their advice with historical moments. It's mind-blowing. So it can sometimes be one of those good party book conversations because it's like, no, you know, astrology isn't based on horoscopes, even though we both write them and we love them. But there's, you know, it's good for those, you know, skeptics that you come across, and, you know, you can, you know, inform yourself with the astrology of history. It will change your whole perspective on just how steeped in tradition and history astrology actually is.
You're quite a classic astrologer.
Right?
You know, you still do a lot of readings for people. So let's start with, what's your favorite thing about being an astrologer? And what would you have done if you weren't an astrologer?
Back in 2006, this was back in the day before people got tattoos as easily as they did, especially women. And so I got some astrology tattoos done on my back, and I decided that if it's not going to be astrology, it will be shoveling shit at the zoo. So it's sort of like a burn your boats, like I'm in this.
Yeah,
and
no, I get that. I did that with journalism.
It was either going to be that or I just like join a heavy metal band.
Okay. And so what is your favorite part about being an astrologer?
I love the readings. I love it. I love reading for people, helping them understand who they are through the symbols, guiding them, letting them know the highs and lows that are coming up and what they can do to buffer any difficulties. And make the best of their opportunities. So to sort of hark back a little bit to what we've already discussed, I have Jupiter and Gemini on my ascendant. So if anyone does need a mindset change or they need someone to, let's see the optimism here. Let's change our minds a bit. You know, it could also be this way. I know you might be reading about this on the internet, but hey, it can also be like this too. And after doing this for 20 years, you see almost all the ways these things can pan out. But
yeah,
I love the reading. I love writing. I love teaching. It's really hard to say, they're the sort of three things I mainly do. And so I love it all.
Mm-hmm. So let's get down to the nitty gritty for anybody who's watching this, and including all the thousands of people who've actually done my Moonology certification. So I've got a certification course where people can actually practice and make a living. Having, you know, how do you go with making a living? Because I feel like I segued from journalism into astrology. So I kind of had a business model that I knew could keep me afloat, and I've run with that. What advice do you have for other people who are thinking, I would like to just, you know, do what Cass did and just say, be an astrologer or shovel shit at the zoo, like, you know?
Okay, so to get started in astrology, well, once you've got enough knowledge to run with, I would say build an email list. Number one, before you think about Instagram or whatever.
Exactly what I tell everyone.
Email.
So let's tell them how to do that in a
well,
sentence. I can or you go.
Oh, well, I would just recommend like a MailChimp account. I don't know how many subscribers they have before you have to start paying for it. It might have changed, but it used to be 2,000.
Yeah, I think it's about 4,000, but I might be wrong.
Oh, okay. But, you know, find a...
That's a good start.
There's probably plenty more. I would say do that and then ignore all of the astrologers online.
Interesting. Now, why do you do that? Because they'll drive you crazy.
Well, because you will just be an echo chamber of everybody else and not start to add your own voice and things to it. What I would recommend is follow creators or people online that may be aligned but can help inform your practice. So I'll give you an example. We had the Venus retrograde in Leo last year, and then the South Node went into Libra. So, of course, relationships were the topic of conversation for everyone. And then I was like, well, I better brush up on this whole like dating idea. And so I started watching all these dating YouTubes and things like that. And, you know, what does relationships mean? Like, what do people value out of that? And just so I could offer someone intel and insight that's astrology inspired, but not just kind of going, well, you know, Venus is doing this and then she's going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it, you know, you're actually helping to sort of maybe coach, inform and inspire that is astrology, but it's in an experience or a language that people are going to understand. So
yes,
that's, and you know, maybe some business types and things like that to help you, but yeah, email, ignore the astrologers online. That's my advice.
Very interesting. And what would you have been, assuming you were not a shit shoveling at the zoo, what would you have been were you not an astrologer?
I'd probably be in a heavy metal band or something like that.
Radio. Okay. So, okay, I got a couple of technical questions for you.
Yeah.
Slightly more technical questions. So, okay, so how do you, Cass, who is kind of traditional with a modern twist, how do you integrate, you know, things like Chiron, or I think you mentioned an asteroid belt. Do you use them, or do you like to stick with the old and tried and tested?
I mean, I know about Chiron from my early days of being a student, but I don't use it at all. I'm huge, huge on the lunar phases, though.
Ah.
Lunar phases to every day of the week.
Well, we've got that in common. Do you mean progressed lunar phases?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, interesting. So anyone who doesn't know what that is, basically when you're born, you have a chart, but the skies don't stop and they keep moving, and that it actually creates something that astrologers call a progress chart. And in a nutshell, at any point, your chart will have moved on a year, a day after you were born. And so some astrologers like Cass will read where your chart is now with, sounds like an emphasis on where the moon is. Okay. Okay. And last question, just because I think it's a really good one for anyone who's listening, who's thinking about, you know, going public with their astrology or maybe moonology. So what about client confidentiality? You know, what strategies do you have in place to make sure you are, as you know, completely confidential when you're dealing with sensitive or personal information? Because I think that's something that needs to be spelled out really clearly.
Yeah, well, I mean, when people ever put, you know, obviously people put a lot of their private data into my website in order to book. You know, I follow all the, my website guy, he's all the Virgo, so in the Capricorn, so he deals with all of that stuff for me, and he's very straighty 180 in that respect. As far as my own ethics and practice in that, it's like no one knows who my clients are. Because, you know, I have famous people in my clientele, and so there's also that part of things as well. So, you know, if I'm using charts to share for teaching purposes, what have you, they're always used with permission from them.
Or anonymously.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But still, I'll do it even if they say, yeah, you can use my chart, but anonymously, that's okay. And I wouldn't use someone's chart anonymously if I haven't got permission to do so, because they could, you could, people can still figure it out, right?
So, but one thing that people wouldn't know is in astrology, often when you're learning astrology, they use the charts of famous people like, you know, Ted Bundy or
well, this is true, but I guess in Kim some Kardashian. Respects,
but that, do we say the celebrities are fair game?
Well,
even
you know,
they probably lie about their birth date anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's on the public record, well, you know, and I still have to treat it with a bit of respect. I'm not really a fan of astrological rubbernecking and people speculating on things. It's just, I don't know.
So are you telling me you haven't looked at Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's compatibility?
I'm kind of like, I'm in the Taylor Who club. I believe she's a Sagittarius, but that's probably
I actually haven't looked at their chart either, but I am actually kind of curious. The longer it goes on, the more curious I get.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've got some people I'm very keen to get a birth time on, and actually managed to score a good one recently, but anyway, my lips are sealed.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, where can people find you?
At my website, which is cassandratindall.com. So just my name.com, which is pretty easy. I guess I'm on the YouTubes and the Twitters and the Instagrams and things. And so it's just my name. Yeah. So there you'll find.
And what do you think about those people following multiple astrologers, even though we may not, or you don't?
Well, people can do what they like, you know, like, but if people, you know, I think if you really want to take your practice seriously and you do want to have a unique voice in the white noise, you have to come and figure out like what you have to say. I get like in the beginning, you might need to just, who's my favorite astrologer? And like, what are they saying about that? And that might be like a little bit to whet the appetite and inspire, like training wheels, but you want to take them off quick smart.
Interesting.
Just my opinion. That's just my opinion. I follow astrologers online, but none of them are in my feed. I want to go to social media and enjoy, you know, the procrastinate scroll. I don't want to feel like I'm working or having like people's opinions and thoughts at me so much. I don't know. That's just me. I like to go on line and not see astrology.
Right. Interesting. Mm. Yeah. And what I was going to say as well is that I'm sure that Cass and I probably follow a lot of the same astrologers, because in the astrology world, there is a sort of a, I don't know how many people, 20, 50, 100 people that are kind of, you know, they definitely, I mean, there's probably more than that, but there are people, you know, they know their stuff because, you know, you've read their stuff and you know that they know what they're talking about. So, you know, people like that, I'm actually really happy to have them in my feed. And if I'm in the mood, I'll kind of click and go, I wonder what Stephen Forrest says about this eclipse.
Oh, I have a few of those, I guess. Seen,
but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's I like it from that perspective.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I do have a few of those people. But what I tend to do is I go to their website. I haven't read their blog for ages. I'll make a cup of tea and soak up their work. You know, I guess because, you know, you and I are both writers at heart. So I'm not really interested in like a, you know, a quick Instagram post. I want to, you know, sit there for 20 minutes and actually read their work. I'm editing for a magazine right now, so I'm doing plenty of that right now. But yes. I kind of like to savor the good ones.
Yes. Well, it's all very Jupiter and Gemini, everything you just said. So
we're
starting to tune in.
Aren't we? I'm ready for my return.
What is it? It's like just over a month away. It's about 7-8 weeks when we're recording this. So there we go.
That's it.
And, you know, as I always say, the skies are not actually, you know, the
there's
sky
a bit of a lag, isn't there?
Separate houses in it. It's very,
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I think just because we have had a lot of Gemini action in recent years, like since this decade, we had Venus retrograde, Mercury retrograde, the North Node went through there, Jupiter's going through there, then Uranus is going to go through there next year too. So our Gemini houses are certainly getting a bit of a workout.
Yeah, so worth knowing where they are. And I did look up about the aspects of Jupiter. So the last aspect that Jupiter makes to another planet before it changes signs is May 23. Jupiter
I think it'll be
will
to Venus.
sextile Neptune. 26th of May, move into Gemini. And then on the 3rd of June, will harmonize, make a trine with Pluto before August 19, clashing with Saturn. So that's the lay of the land. I don't think we'll go into that because it's a bit too much for now, but basically what it suggests is that in the lead up to the end of May, nice, good vibes, good for
Lovely.
people like me who like to meditate, get cosmic. Jupiter changes signs, brings a new boost in one part of your chart, which you can find out about later, then harmonizes with Pluto, really good. Everything seems to be going very well. And then there might maybe a slight hitting of the wall in some way. We will find out exactly what Jupiter squaring Saturn is going to bring. Maybe we can get to back together and talk about that in August.
Yeah. I've got my eye on that one.
Right. Is it hitting your chart in particular or?
It is actually, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well,
So
enough
yeah,
said.
sometimes we see things and we're like,
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about it.
the one in
Okay,
just the
one last
December is,
question on this
yeah.
note, which I wanted to ask you about 5 minutes ago and I didn't. How often do you check your own chart?
Not often enough because it wasn't until January that I realized I went into a balsamic moon phase back in September. I was like, yeah, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. My energy's really low and I just don't want to do anything. And oh, but I know it's coming up. And then I did the calculations. I'm like, oh, I'm already in it.
Right,
So
interesting. Yeah,
So
okay.
I know sometimes I think one of the occupational hazards is that, well, when you're riding for different time
Yeah.
zones, I'm writing for 2025 and then I'm writing
Yeah, me too,
dailies for
100%.
you and all the things.
Yeah.
And so our concept of time gets a little bit warped and you're like, oh yeah, I know that thing's coming up. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there it is. It's happening already. Oops.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant. Well, Cass, thank you so much. Been
Oh, it's
such a
wonderful
pleasure
to be
chatting to
back.
you.
Yeah,
And
thank
yeah,
you.
let's get back on the podcast for the Jupiter square Saturn. I'd like to see your take on it.
Oh, I'd love to offer it.
Okay, brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers.